place.
Brother Foy is sick this morning. I ask that y'all remember him in your prayers, please. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank thee, Father, for thy great love and thy mercy and thy great goodness. We thank thee, Father, for this congregation of thy church, an opportunity to preach the gospel, the cross of Christ, to all the ungodly world. Have mercy upon us, Father, for we're sinners and we confess that to you. We often do the things that we shouldn't. We fail to do the things that we should. Help us, Father. Guide us and direct us. Make us more like Jesus. Discipline us as children and cast us not from thy presence, we beseech thee. Father, all things are possible with thee. We know that, and we trust ourselves into your hands for guidance, for mercy. Please help us to continue to grow, Father. We thank you for the 3 hours that we have on the radio. We thank you, Father, for the internet that you've given us and the great response that we've had there. Thank you, Father, so very, very much. Thank you for this opportunity to feed the poor today. Thank you for the 4th of July cakes that the sisters at Webb Chapel worked and labored so hard to prepare and bring here. Father, bless every hand that gives and every hand that takes, we pray thee. In Jesus' name, amen. We have been studying about King David, and we will begin in 2 Samuel chapter 12, beginning in verse 10. And I'll remind you of David when he sinned in order to get Uriah the Hittite's wife. He killed an innocent man and took his wife for his very own wife. And God told him, in beginning in verse 10, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me and taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife." Often the problems that we have today are caused by the mistakes that we made yesterday, the bad decisions that we made yesterday. Our sins slow walk us down. David took God at his word, what God told him here. "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house." And his own sons turned against him and tried to usurp him and kill him and take the kingdom. "And I will take thy wives before thy eyes and give them to thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but this will I do, this thing, before all Israel and before the sun." David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." So David confessed his sin. And I want you to notice today the progress of David's thinking that we have studied over the last few days, few weeks. Psalms 51. When David repented, he said, "Have mercy upon me, O God." And God saw an attitude of heart in David that he wanted to see from Kelly and from every sinner who would ever repent. And so he inspired him, put his spirit on him, and inspired him to write Psalms 51. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions." Who can blot out our transgressions but God? "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities." Who can wash us but God? "Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Thou mightest be justified when I speakest, and clear when I judgest." And so then we saw last week in Psalms 38, David crying to God still in repentance. Psalms 38. "Rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure." Well, there's nothing worse than having God mad at you and having God's foot on your neck. You think the devil can give you trouble. Boy, God can give you a lot more trouble than the devil can. "Neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure." Oh, to be beat with the hot displeasure of God. I have been beat by the hot displeasure of God, and I encourage you not to get in that situation. For thine arrows stick fast in me. It's like an old Indian fighter in the old West that he's shot and wounded with arrows everywhere. They're sticking out of him everywhere. There's no lethal blow, but they're sticking out of your arms and your legs and your rear end. And all over you, there's arrows sticking out of it. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presses me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, probably soul sickness. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. And so in verse 17, he says, for I'm ready to halt. I have been ready to halt. I am ready to halt. Stop. That's one of the first steps in repentance. For I'm ready to halt. And my sorrow is continually before me. Paul says, godly sorrow worketh repentance, 2 Corinthians 7:10. So it's all right to be sorry for the sorry, rotten, no good things that we've said or done in our life. It's all right to do that. I will declare my iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. John tells us if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So now turn to Psalms 32. Psalms 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That's a wonderful state. Blessed, the word means happy too. I'm telling you, I am happy that my sins are covered, that my transgressions are forgiven. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth, reckon, or counts, doesn't reckon or count. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not, reckons or counts not iniquity. God doesn't count my iniquity anymore, and I want you to get into a situation with him where he doesn't count your iniquity anymore either. And in whose spirit there is no guile, you can forget all about coming to him if you're going to be two-faced. If you've got a double face, you know, I can understand a man with seven heads and one face, but I can't understand a man with one head and seven faces. I can't understand that. I acknowledge my sin, down to verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. In my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of my sin. Shalah, that means hallelujah. How wonderful it is that he's forgiven my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in the time that thou mayest be found. David says this is what God wants to hear from us. Everybody that's godly, this is the way to do it. Confess your sins. Confess that you've done wrong. Now I want you to notice the progression of David's thinking. God could save me, he first thought. He's powerful enough to do it. He's mighty enough to do it. He can do anything. He can speak the universe into being. God could forgive me. And then he got to thinking, well, God would forgive me if I'd only ask. Why don't we ask? Why don't we ask? Why do people who sin withdraw from the church, where David ran to the church, he ran to the temple, he ran to God, he confessed it, he asked for forgiveness. God could forgive me, God would forgive me if I asked. And now David's thinking is going to progress to the next step. God has forgiven me. So turn with me now to Psalms 40. Psalms 40. You guys got it made, that PowerPoint's out there. I got to look all this stuff up here. When David saw the enormity of his sin, it broke his heart. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Here David magnifies God for the mercy that he sought, that we studied last week in Psalms 38. He magnifies God and prays God for the mercy that God has given him. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Notice what David did. He prayed and he waited with patience. He prayed and waited with patience. How often have I done that? From the hole at Leavenworth, the worst place on earth that you could possibly be, the dungeon in the bottom of the prison, the dungeon in the bottom of the worst prison, the place that they send you when you can't get along with nobody and do nothing. And they take all your clothes off and put you there in the dark, and cockroaches run over you, and rats and maggots. And I can't explain to you the filth and depravity of these places. 35, 40 years ago, it was a bad, bad place, I'm telling you. And God heard my cry. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He prayed and waited with patience, and he was resigned to continue to wait with patience. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. We sing a song about that. Sinking sand, he lifted me. With tender hand, he lifted me. Has he lifted you? He's lifted me. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Now, I know y'all have never been in the hole at Leavenworth, but I have. It's a horrible pit. There's not a worse place that you could ever find yourself in. And you know what you need to do if you find yourself in a hole? You need to stop digging. That's what you need to do. You need to stop digging. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. The more you move, the deeper you sink into quicksand. Out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. David had lost his rock back there in Psalms 38. He didn't have his assurity, his rock. But now God set our feet upon a rock. You know, we sing a song about that too, don't we? Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a pillar in a time of storm. Sure does it, doesn't he, Eric? I'm bucking for Danny's job. He's going to be gone next week. And set my feet upon a rock and establish my goings. God can do that. God can establish your goings from the very bottom. He can raise you up. And he has put a new song in my mouth. I've never sang a song before. I've never sang before people before. And it doesn't matter that you can't carry a tune, because I can't either. Doesn't matter. We're singing to an audience of one. God. Just him. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. David said, I will not be silent because my example of discipline, God beating all the snot out of me, will cause many to fear and obey the Lord. David was crushed because he had given the enemies of God an opportunity to blaspheme. 1980, I was the chaplain of the Dallas County Jail. I had warned the Churches of Christ, 17 Churches of Christ were going into Dallas County Jail. We were baptizing about 1,000 people a year. And I warned them that if Carl Thomas, who was a member of the church, was not reelected and the other guy got in there, Don Byrd, that it'd be the end of that. And many tried to get me to stab the guy in the back that gave me the opportunity to be the chaplain of the jail there. Many people in the church did, and I couldn't believe the two-facedness of some people in the church. And I continued to warn them about it, and Carl wasn't elected, and so I resigned. I tried to fall on the sword, and I put another man in there in my place, Nicodemus John Booker Matuma, who was my friend that God sent me from Rhodesia. And I was mad at God. I was furious at God. And I told him, I will not speak your word anymore. I will not preach your name anymore. Many people have accused me of going back to the world then. That's not when it happened. I came to this church right here and I took care of my mom and daddy until they died. Took care of my mom and daddy. My mom and dad were both very old. My dad had bullous pemphigoid, and I took very good care of him till he died. Then a rat came to me with a deal that was too good to be true. You know something? If people offer you a deal that's too good to be true, it always is. And I thought I needed some money. I had about $250,000 then. Ginger and I, we weren't broke. And so I took a truckload of machine guns and hand grenades to the Contras and got busted in San Antonio. It had been 5 years since I preached. 5 years since I had said anything regarding God. And you know what the headlines of the paper said? Church of Christ preacher busted with machine guns and hand grenades. That crushed me. I had given the enemies of God an opportunity to blaspheme. That crushed me. The government tried to make a rat out of me. They gave me diesel therapy, sent me all over riding around in buses, and they put you in the hole in the penitentiary, one joint and another, trying to make a rat out of me. And the only people that I could tell on was a mafia boss and an army colonel, and it, you know, it doesn't do much good to tell on either one of them kind of people. And so since I wouldn't rat, I had to do the time day for day, 5 years, day for day. Ginger wanted me to rat, you know, like all ladies, they want their man back out of the penitentiary. And I told her, baby, if I did this, if I do that, how could you ever believe me when I say that I love you and honor you, cherish you, take care of you all days of my life? If I won't keep my word to these people, how can I be expected to keep my word to you? And so she stuck with me. She put up with me. And you know, I had to eat them words. I hadn't been home a year, and she went 9 times in a diabetic coma. 9 times. And you know where that brought me? That brought me back to the back row of this church right here. The back row of this church. And she was 80 pounds in diapers. And I've changed diapers, and I've washed dishes, and I've washed clothes. And I've been a house husband for the last 16 years. And God's given me my wife back. He's given me my life back. And He's brought me from the back row of this church to be a servant.
He can do it. He can do it.
He can do all things. All things. The greatest cross that I carry is the headlines of that paper. It's all right for me to offend my own self and shame my own self and shame my family and shame my wife, but it's not all right to shame God.
Amen.
And to shame His church. And I asked His forgiveness and your forgiveness and everybody's forgiveness. I am so sorry and ashamed of myself. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. Be sure and visit our website, www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He'll do it. He'll do it for you. He'll give you your life back. He'll give you your family back. He'll give you everything back or better. He has put a new song in my mouth. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Even praise unto our God, and many will see it and be feared. You know that I've stood before you for 16 years and told you the truth. That if you sin, you're going to die. That if you steal, you're going to get caught. If you rob and do wrong, it's going to happen to you. If you use dope, it's going to happen to you. You're going to waste your life. If you fornicate, you're going to get the clap. It's going to happen. I can't tell you no plainer than the plain English I'm trying to speak to you today. Fear God. Nobody on earth gets away with sin. Christians, He disciplines right now today in your life. The wicked are going to have to wait for the judgment and for hell. In most cases, the wicked prosper down here. But Christians, He'll discipline you right now today. And He'll beat all the snot out of you if you act up. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. David's enemies were arrogant, and they were full of lies and pride. And there's been many a lie told on me in the last 16 years. And God is my witness, I've never defended myself. I could, but I haven't. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works. Not in nature, but in the mercy and grace that God has forgiven him. Think about it. Think about the mercy and the grace that has been in this plan of God's all along in forgiving sinners like us. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done in thy thoughts to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they're more than can be numbered. It's like David's mind is a computer that went into spin, and it just can't find a place to stop. It's going through the history of God, all the way through the history of the world, looking what God had to do to save a dog like him and to save a dog like me. Now the Spirit of God comes upon David and inspires him in these next messianic verses to write some of the most beautiful verses in Scripture. Sacrifice in offering thou dost not desire. Both kinds of sacrifice, both sacrifices and offering, None of them, nor all of them, could take away sin. Just the body that God has prepared. Now I want you to notice, sacrifice and offering thou dost not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. This is a very technical clause in Hebrew. Mine ears hast thou opened is actually in the Hebrew, my ears has thou pierced. In Exodus chapter 20, if a slave worked for 6 years for a master, the seventh year he was to be freed, and on the seventh year, if he loved his master and loved his master's house, he could go to the master, and the master would take an awl and pierce his ear at the door of his house, and he would forever be part of that house. Now, this being a messianic prophecy, I'm convinced that the Masoretic text here is corrupted, and the Masoretic writers in 200 AD, the Masoretic text was put down for us, which our Old Testament comes from. We have found in the Dead Sea Scrolls that those Masoretic people did some changes, and you know where most of the changes are? They're in Messianic prophecies in the Old Testament. They kind of changed them so that it would make the point of the New Testament not so strong. So we're going to go on and read this and then go to the New Testament, see what it says, and come back here. David's saying, how is David back in 1000 B.C. going to be saved? Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. My ears hast thou opened, made him a slave forever, that's true. Burnt offering and sin offering thou did not desire. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, the roll of the book. In Hebrew, it's roll there. In the New Testament, where it's going to be quoted, it's volo, it means the volume, the roll of the book. Scrolls were rolled up then. There were rolls. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Excuse me, we're going to go back to verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, Jesus, back here before he became incarnate, before the Word became flesh, he said, what did Jesus say? Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, just before the Word became flesh, what was the last words that Jesus said to God? He saith, sacrifice and offering thou would not. That's right from Psalms 40 that we're reading. He's quoting Psalms 40. But a body thou hast prepared for me. There are two Hebrew letters that are different that makes up whether this sentence is translated, my ears thou hast opened, or a body thou hast prepared for me, and they look a lot alike. It could accidentally be a scribal mistake, but again, I think it's the Masoretic text, the Masoretic Jews, changing the Old Testament to cover themselves and deny the Christ. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, when Jesus comes to the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou would not, but a body. God didn't want the blood of bulls and goats. See back here in verse 4, For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. God's not interested in the blood of bulls and goats. From the foundation of the world, he had a plan, and that plan was Jesus Christ. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. A body was prepared for Jesus Christ that was going to be the perfect sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. In burnt offering and sacrifice for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. When David wrote this, the only book that was written then was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua and Judges probably, 1 and 2 Samuel. That was all that was written. What is being said here? Jesus came in the volume of the book. What is Genesis about? It's about Jesus and nothing else. It is about from the promise of the seed of the woman to bruise Satan all the way down to the call of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jacob on his deathbed saying that Christ is going to come through the tribe of Judah. That's Genesis. What is Exodus about? It's about bringing us out of slavery and delivering us to this real Lord's Supper. This Passover that the Jews had was only a shadow of the Lord's Supper that was to come. Genesis, Exodus, what is Leviticus about? It is the priesthood, a holy priesthood that he has called us to. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. What is Numbers about? It's about numbering God's people and the story of those people in the wilderness as they went through the promised land. In Deuteronomy, what is it about? It's about the law of God, how the law of God is perfect, but it also prophesies the Christ. What was Samuel about? Well, it's about bringing about the Christ, where David is promised that that the Christ will come through him. In burnt offering and in sacrifice and sin, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. All of the book was written about Jesus. Jesus, the perfect sacrifice versus animal sacrifice. For it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Now Paul is going to begin talking about what does these things mean. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first. He takes away the law of Moses. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He takes away the Old Testament, that he may establish the New Testament. He takes away Israel so that he can establish the new Israel, the Church of Christ, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once and for all. Jesus did not have to suffer a whole lot of times. He did it once and for all. His body was the perfect substitute for sin. And it was powerful enough, he was innocent enough, that his blood could save all men if they would simply believe and obey. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD, and be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist. And every priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. The temple worship was still going on in Jerusalem when this was written, and those priests offered those sacrifices. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He's seated in David's throne right now, And he's going to be seated there forever in David's throne. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And he's just waiting for us to get the job done. And I want to brag on y'all. I love y'all. I want to tell you, we're the poorest church in town. You know why I don't weasel you for money? Because I know that you're doing all you can do. And you know what we're doing with that money? We got 3 hours on the radio. We've got the best internet ministry in the world going. Good stuff is happening. We feed 1,200 sandwiches a week here out of this place. And we're constantly broke. How wonderful it is. But there's always enough. For by one offering, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified, set apart as holy unto God. So now let's go back to Psalms 40. Psalms 40, beginning in verse 6 again. Sacrifice and offering thou did not desire. Even back here under the Old Testament, when sacrifices and offerings were the way to worship, they were just to get men's minds on sin and the repercussions of sin. God had told Adam and Eve, in the day that thou sinnest, thou shalt surely die. And he showed them after they sinned by killing a precious lamb and making them skins and clothes to cover them. He showed them what death was. Sacrifice was just designed to get people to be sorry for their sins. I like animals. I really like animals. Ginger and I have got a dog. And we've always had a dog. We've had another old dog till she died. But God wanted your favorite lamb. He didn't want just any old lamb out of the flock, the one that you didn't like the best, the one you hated the worst that would never mind. He didn't want that one. He wanted the one you loved the most, the one that you had to bottle feed to get to live. That's the sacrifice that God wanted. And he wanted it to break men's heart because they say, oh, I stole something and I've got to repent and now I've got to take a lamb to the temple. And you take that little lamb that you love the most and take it to the temple and cut his throat and kill him. And he wanted people to feel sorry for their sins. But by the time of Jesus, those scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees and hypocrites and doctors of the law, all the stuffed shirts, big wigs of the land, had figured it out. They said, well, yes, see, if every time I steal, I got to give a lamb, and I'm going to steal every day this week, so I got to take 7 lambs. And so they thought they had it worked out. So God didn't want that kind of sacrifice. That kind of sacrifice doesn't mean a hill of beans to God. Sacrifice and offering thou did not desire. My ears hast thou opened. Now the Arabic reads both ways. The Arabic reads, my ears hast thou opened, and a body thou hast prepared for me. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is it within my heart. Jesus was the only one that the law was perfectly in his heart because he was the Word of God made flesh. The law of God was in his heart, but he was the only one to perfectly live the law. Nobody else has ever lived perfectly under the law of Moses. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Now here, this can be one of two things or both things. This can be Jesus preaching righteousness in the great congregation, or it can be David and Jesus preaching righteousness in the great congregation. David doing it in 1000 B.C., where he says, I won't keep quiet, I'll tell people about my goofing, and it'll teach them to fear, and y'all will learn not to do it your own selves. Now, David preached righteousness in that respect, but Jesus came. He really preached righteousness in the great congregation. I, Jesus, have preached righteousness in the great congregation. In the temple in Jerusalem, he preached so much that they murdered him. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. Jesus didn't hide it within his heart. Neither did David, and neither am I going to ever again, because he's forgiven me for swearing I'd never speak his word again. 29 years ago, and I'm still ashamed of myself. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Neither did David, neither did Jesus, neither is Kelly going to do that. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Now this has got to be David. This isn't Jesus. For mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. God can forgive you for your sins, but there's still consequences that are natural. If you go fornicate and you come down with AIDS, God is going to forgive you if you ask and you beg and you really repent, but you're still going to have AIDS. You're still going to have AIDS. There's still consequences. If you take a truckload of machine guns to San Antonio to the Contras, you're going to get caught by the FBI and you're going to go to prison. You can't get away with stuff like that, no matter how slick you think you are. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I'm not able to look up. I have been so ashamed for 24 years that I didn't want to look up at him, but I'm able to look up at him now. Not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. My sins are more than the hairs of my head. And I'm not bald yet, thank the Lord. I got a full head of hair. So there's plenty of sin up there. And notice it's all gray. Comes from all them dappers I change. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seeketh after my soul to destroy it. There's always going to be somebody seeking after your soul to destroy it. Every prodigal son who comes home will have an older brother that'll be putting you down, be trying to drive you from the church. You know something? The prodigal son came home and he ran into the father. Do you think he'd have ever made it home if he'd have run into his older brother first? Never made it home, would he? Older brothers and discouraging Pharisees and hypocrites and self-righteous people will try to keep you away from God. God is saying, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. Please, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. Don't be delaying, God. I need you today. I won't worry about tomorrow. I need you today. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seeketh after my soul to destroy it. And that's what they're really doing. Those false shepherds claim they're shepherds, but they're really seeking after your soul to destroy it. They're really the messenger of Satan sent to buffet you. Let them be driven backwards and put to shame that wish me evil. I can think of my worst enemy right now today, and I don't want him to go to hell. I don't want him to come back to this church necessarily because he's a threat to the people. He ain't a threat to me. He's a punk. I'm not afraid of him. He's a threat to old women. He's a threat to the children. He's a threat to people, to sheep. He's a wolf. But I don't want him to go to hell. That's the difference in false shepherds, elder brothers, and real Christians. We don't want anybody to go to hell. That's a terrible place. We don't nobody go there. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that's saying to me, aha, aha. Boy, there's been a lot of people say that about me. Aha, aha, he busted again. Yeah, caught with his hand in the cookie jar. I sure was. Of course, they'll have to give an account their own self someday. Every bucket's going to sit on its own bottom at the judgment scene. I'm telling you right now, everybody will give an account for their own sins. Unless you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, then it won't be mentioned. That's the way to go, isn't it? Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified, praise his name. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tearing, O my God. Back up here in verse 5 where David says, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works. Back from the very foundation of the world, God promised eternal life. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. First Peter 1, 20, speaking of Jesus, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And Ephesians 1, 4, the greatest of all the verses, I think. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Back here before God ever said, let there be light. He knew that David was first going to be promised the kingdom and the Messiah would come through him. You think when God promised him that, he didn't know in just a few months he'd kill Uriah? Of course he knew he'd kill Uriah. God works in all our lives. He's the shepherd who disciplines us. Bear up under the discipline of God. Pray and wait with patience during the discipline of God, and God will forgive you. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Why? That we should be holy. We need to become holy and without blame before him in love. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 and be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com And please stay tuned after this broadcast for Brother David Tarbert of the White Rock Church of Christ, immediately following us at 12 noon. The gospel of Jesus Christ, which was planned before the foundation of the world, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, that which I preached unto you and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory that which I delivered unto you." What if you don't, lest you believed in vain? "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." If you believe that gospel, there's no reason whatsoever for you to be lost. You just need to add a little faith to that belief, because without faith it's impossible to please him, the book says. The Bible teaches we need to confess Christ as Lord. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." The Bible teaches we need to be baptized into Christ. And so I'll ask you the same thing that Ananias asked the Apostle Paul. Why tarriest thou? Why do you wait? Why do you delay? Why do you put it off? Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you're ready to become a Christian, you're going to have that opportunity. You can just march right down to the front down here and meet me right down at the front. Those of you that have sin in your life, come and ask for prayer for the church. We'd encourage our radio audience to flee the Church of Christ nearest your home and ask, "What must I do to be saved?" before it's everlasting too late. If you need the help of the church or the prayers of the church, won't you come now while we stand and sing? Terry, if there's sin in your life, come now. Have your sins washed away in Jesus' name while we continue to sing.
Oh. that place.